Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
And welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're trying to reach my guest, Jim Drever. He is the author of End Your Story, Begin Your Life, and we are waiting for him to contact us. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to start with some thoughts in today's show. And I'm going to take this quote, and I know you've heard it before. It's from the Sanskrit. Yesterday is but a dream. Tomorrow is only a vision. But today well lived makes every yesterday a dream of happiness and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day. Look well, therefore, to this day. That's what life is all about. Now, I thought I heard something. Do I have Jim on the phone? Nope, I guess not. I thought that was his voice that I heard in the background there. So many times we get anxious. I know I have, and I'm sure you have. We are so often so busy, and you'll just say, well, my goodness, I've got to plan this way out ahead, and I've got to do this, that, or the other. Well, I am as guilty as the rest of you in getting caught up in that patterning. But if we can remember to be present where we are right here, right now, with what we're doing, it's amazing how much the clarity evolves and comes in. And it's something that it took me a lot of years to be able to connect with. If you are like I've been so many times, you've got so much on your to-do list that you could be in front of the Queen of England and you're thinking, my goodness, the dishes are still in the dishwasher. I didn't push the button. I wonder if I let the dog out. I wonder if I did this, that, or the other. Oh, my goodness, I didn't do such and such by such and such a time. Have you gone through that? Boy, I have. And then I have to remember to pull myself into where I am, because lots of times I can't do anything about what I didn't get done or my to-do list because I'm occupied in something at the moment. And it really does make a difference. It's a real good habit to cultivate. And I think that so many times we get so distracted, we actually exhaust ourselves. Have you ever wakened in the middle of the night and your brain is going 10,000 miles an hour and you can't go back to sleep? Your eyes are wide open and you're thinking, I've got to do this, this, that, 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 thus, and the other. And before you know it, you're awake for 2 hours, and then you finally go back to sleep, and then you get up, and you're just dragging because you have exhausted your resources. Someone once told me a long time ago, worrying never solves a thing, and that's true. But we're taught to do that. We are taught to do that. And again, being mindfully present enables us to really accomplish what we want to accomplish. Now, we're waiting to hear from Jim Drever on End Your Story, Begin Your Life. And what this is about is how to wake up, let go, and to be free as an individual. I love the story that I heard a long time ago about freedom. And it related to Alexander the Great. And I honestly don't remember what city he had occupied. And as so many of us know, he was well-renowned as a warrior and so on and so forth. And, of course, everything that he conquered was his property.
Your guest is with us.
Aha. Well, I'll tell you the rest of Alexander's story later because Jim is with us. Jim Drever, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
Well, it's a pleasure having you as a guest today. Jim, you're a man that decided to write a book about, well, sort of how we could become our own master in our own lives. I think so many times we think mastery is some great big huge thing, when really the biggest objective is to do it ourselves. for you, Jim, what was it that really made you become aware that you wanted to do this for yourself? And in doing this for yourself, you were able then to say, hey, I got something for you.
Good question. Well, are you getting your feedback here?
No, I'm hearing you just fine. You're a little bit on the low side for me, but that's okay. I hear you clearly.
You're a bit on the low side for me, too.
Well, I'm sure our engineer will be making those adjustments.
Okay, great. So listen, basically, how I got on the path of self-realization or mastery is because of suffering. I wanted to end my suffering. And my emotional suffering, my mental conflict, I kind of hit rock bottom. I was actually having this episode, it turned out to be a panic attack, a series of panic attacks, my last year in chiropractic school in way back in the mid-70s in Davenport, Iowa. And I was afraid to go to sleep at night for fear that I would stop breathing and die. And these attacks lasted for about 6 months. And so I finally began to meditate, and I began to read books on spirituality and freedom, inner freedom. And that began my journey. Then 2 years later, I was sleeping in my bedroom in Northern California. I woke up one morning in the summer and had this enlightenment experience. I never had this before. I'd never done drugs or anything. I was totally straight. And I woke up and I noticed the dust motes dancing in the sunlight that came from a chink in the Venetian blinds. And I heard a mourning dove call outside, and suddenly everything on my mind stopped. I just felt one with the universe, with life. It was magical. And after a few minutes, a thought crept in. Wow, this is what these teachers are talking about. It's all right here, right now. We don't have to seek anything. The feeling of oneness, of peace, of harmony and flow, it's all here now. I got out of bed and crept in my study to write about the experience, and then I was hooked. Then I wanted only one thing, to live in that state of oneness and flow and harmony all the time. And that became my underlying driving purpose for the next 18 years, even as I went about my life as a chiropractor and spent 9 months traveling through Asia and got married and had a child. Who's now 27, by the way. And I met a guy named Jean Klein, a man named Jean Klein, who was from Europe, who was kind of a spiritual master, and he taught the non-dual approach to awakening. I met him in 1984, and I read his books, went to a few talks and workshops with him, and kind of absorbed his teaching, and then woke up finally in the spring of 1995. I've been free ever since, and writing books about it and teaching others how to be free. That's it in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. One of your first students was Juliana Dahl, and
yes,
you relate a very powerful story about her. She was actually the first person that came up to you and said, would you teach me? Now, that, in many ways, is an honor, I think, when someone comes to you and says, gee, I recognize something in you. I want you to teach me. I think that's a wonderful compliment. But being the very first person, tell us about Juliana and what her experience was and how you helped her.
Right. Well, that kind of confirms or proves the saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, right? You've heard that saying before.
Oh, yes.
Right, so I was giving a talk in New Mexico, Santa Fe, on enlightenment and an ordinary life, and there was about 80 people in the audience, and Juliana was sitting up front. She's a woman about my age, a few years younger maybe, and she came up to me afterwards and said, I want to be your student. I want you to teach me how to be free. And she lived in Boulder, and still does, and I just spoke with her a few days ago, in fact. And so we consulted by telephone maybe 2 weeks over the next year. And basically, once you get caught up in a story and believing the story, I just pointed out to her that you're not your story. The story comes and goes. You are what is always here. Find out what is always here, here right now, and you'll be free. And gradually she became freer and freer, and then she began inviting me out to do workshops at her place. And one day, 3 years after we began working together, she finally woke up herself.
You talk about waking up, and it's as if it's like one's coming out of a sleep. And we do have scripts that we follow. Some of them have been dictated to us, and some of them we've written ourselves without realizing it. And I can look back on certain phases in my life and realize that I really wrote a particular script.
Right.
Because I was sort of testing myself. Now, at the time that the situation, which became a very ugly one in my mind's view, I thought, oh, no, that years later, no, that couldn't have been the case. But now, as I'm wiser, I can say, you sure did a good job of it.
Right.
And so with her, one of the things that you said, and you bring it right out in your book, and I was talking about it before we came on the air, you have to live in the now. I guess you don't have to. I think you could float around in la-la land if you wanted to, or really get preoccupied with the past. But being present in a moment with full attention, that is really a challenge in our modern-day world.
Right, it is. See, there's only the present, actually. And then there's our story. And most people are caught up in their story. Their story about the past, their story about the future, worrying about whether they're going to be able to pay the rent, whether they're going to meet a perfect person in a relationship. And all the while, it's only here now. So in my book, and I say this in various places, that when you... the more and more that you realize you are not your story, you have a story, you have thoughts. We're storytelling people. But freedom consists in becoming identified with your true nature, which is being, pure awareness being here now. And then the more you're established you are in being here now, the more you embody the truth of being here now. The more you realize you have this very powerful mind, you have the ability to create thoughts and stories and to attract what you want into your life. That's when the law of attraction really works, when you come to this freedom where you're not defined or limited by any story whatsoever, particularly any story about self. Like, you realize you have the thought, I am me. You have an ego, which is basically the I thought, the me thought. You don't identify with the ego or the I thought or the me thought. You identify with beingness, which is actually no identity at all. You're just here now, open totally to the magic and oneness of the universe coming through you.
I really like your quote with your Zen master, D.T. Suzuki. He said, the lightning and thunder discovery that the universe and oneself are not remote and apart, but are an intimate, palpitating whole. I think that anyone that goes out in nature, walking through a park, walking in a forest, just checking out a backyard, you realize how everything is so alive and it is connected. And that really, in my view, is a form of meditation. Let's talk about meditation, because you address this in your book. And again, your teacher, D.T. Suzuki, said, even after enlightenment, practice must continue so as to deepen and expand the experience. So,
all right.
This is very, very important stuff. Let's talk about meditation, because so many times people think you've got to be sitting in a cave up in the middle of the Himalayas somewhere, totally isolated, but that's not true.
Right. Yeah, meditation is simply being, in its essence, is just being very, very present. And you can sit down or stand up, or usually sitting down, just being very present and just tuning into everything around you and becoming more and more aware of your true nature as this awareness or consciousness in which life happens, in which sounds arise and disappear, in which sensations and feelings arise and disappear, in which thoughts come and go in your mind, images, including the I thought and the me thought, that you are behind it all. You are the universal awareness in which it happens, in which the universe, the objects in the universe, sensations, sounds, thoughts, feelings, emotions, physical objects come and go, that you are always here. So that's the essence of meditation. In my workshops, I guide people through a meditation which really helps them become more present and helps get them get more insight into the fact that they're not their story. They have a story, but they're not their story.
You talk about beliefs in your book, and of course, there are as many beliefs as there are people. And your statement is that beliefs frequently can keep us in a state of resistance and fear. You cannot cling to a belief and be in a state of welcoming. Holding on to a set of beliefs is the exact opposite of the all-embracing openness represented by awakening. Explain that.
When we cling to a belief in our mind, a belief that, you know, whatever, it could be a religious belief or a hope or a dream or a, it's something that defines us, the me, the I. The me, the I, wants to cling to beliefs for a measure of certainty. So when we're clinging to a belief, we're not open to other points of view, like the Christian is not open to the Buddhist point of view, for example. I mean, some Christian sects, fundamentalist sects, see, like, yoga, for example, as a work of the devil. But yoga is just a wonderful exercise for, making the body more supple. So maybe this is a good time to talk to, through my practice of freedom, Donna.
Okay.
And the guests listening to this will get a sense of what the heart of the book is about, because my book, End Your Story, Begin Your Life, is built around the practice of freedom. It's a three-step practice to help you get free of suffering, of conflict, of upset. So you do the practice whenever you're suffering, whenever you're upset, whenever someone, you know, annoys you. That's the time to do the practice. And the first step in the practice is to be present with what you're experiencing. You've got to be present with it. Most people want to resist, deny, reject, or rationalize their suffering. You've got to learn to be present with it. And eventually you learn to welcome it. I talk about this in the book in Chapter 1. You learn to welcome it because it's showing you we're not yet free. And the goal is to want to be free yourself. So you learn to welcome suffering whenever it arises because it's showing you we're not yet free. And the second step is to notice a thought or story you're telling yourself. There's always a thought or story behind your suffering. You know, I'm not good enough. Oh my God, what's going to happen? This shouldn't be happening. Those kinds of things. And the third tip in the practice is to see the truth. And the truth is this. The thought or story comes and goes in your mind, just like the suffering in your body comes and goes. That you are the beautiful being who's always here. So breathe and relax and be the beautiful, aware being you are. Abide in the pure awareness that is your true nature.
So you have a story practice. In this. Yeah, excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You have a story in your book that I thoroughly enjoyed. And you were discussing bliss and how you, when your meditations, you would be able to experience what you described as bliss. However, there was a particular happening with your son, Adam, when he was a baby.
Right.
With the diapers. Would you share that story? Because I thought that was adorable.
It's a wonderful story. So this is still when I was still early in my path. And Adam was about, this was 1986, and Adam was like 9 months old or 6 months old in his crib in the room next to where I was sitting and meditating. And I was in my zafu, my meditation cushion, and my eyes are closed, and my hands are on my knees, and I was just beginning to cruise in the feeling of bliss. And then suddenly Anna started crying next door, and his mother called out from the kitchen, "Hey, Jim, will you go and change Adam's diapers? He needs his diapers changed." And I cringed inside. I didn't want to disturb the bliss. But then I had a thought arise, "Jim, Adam needs his diapers changed, and you don't want to disturb your bliss, and you call this enlightenment?" So I got up out of my a meditation cushion, kind of somewhat begrudgingly. I went in and changed his diapers, and I had a good lesson from that, because I realized that I was beginning to realize, and this just kind of cemented it, that enlightenment is not about bliss, because when you get attached to a state of bliss, then you resist it when the bliss leaves you or threatens to leave you. So, that's a good story. That's I often tell that story, and people love it.
But I think it's hysterical. I really do. I think this is one of the most grounding experiences anybody can have. Because
exactly. It
is dealing with the realities of everyday life.
Right, exactly.
And you can't sit on a cushion forever. You're going to have to get up and be a part of life. And so, wow, that I just think your son Adam was just absolutely adorable. And I think the story is just terrific. Now, you also had a story about a master and a student. And it's a Zen story. And the master had a student that really, really wanted to get to what he thought was the peak in meditation.
Right, right.
And the teacher said to him, "I want to know what you're doing. And tell us the rest of the story, because it's got a profound lesson in it."
I forget this story. Would you say a little bit more about it?
Yes. The student did not want to break his concentration, and without opening his eyes.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, okay, I got it. So the master sat down beside him and meditated with him, and then picked up a rock and a tile and began huffing and puffing away as he rubbed the rock on the tile. Is this a story?
Yes.
Okay, and this went on for about another half hour, and finally the student looked at him and said, "Master, what are you doing?" And I said, "I'm rubbing this tile to make a mirror." And he said, "My God, you'll never make a mirror with that tile. You'll never get there." And the master said, "And just so, you will never get enlightened by simply sitting and meditating."
I'll never forget many years ago when my teacher said to me at a point, "Donna, there's nothing more than I can teach you. You're going to have to go out and do it." And of course, as a student, I just thought she was absolutely awesome, and I was very upset. I said, "What, I don't understand this."
Right, right.
"What do you mean go out and do it? What am I supposed to do?" And she just said,
"Right.
Well, it's just what you're going to have to do." And as it turned out, she passed away 2 weeks later. So she knew that her job with me was finished, and that she could no longer keep me under her umbrella. And she was a very wise and a very generous woman. But I can still recall those feelings that I had that, what do you mean? Aren't you supposed, isn't that what gurus or teachers, master teachers are supposed to do? They're supposed to just keep on teaching. Well, I learned at a very young age that's not the case, and then you feel like you're bumbling around for a long time, but yet everything you go through is part of the lesson, part of the process of discovering who you are.
Right. Yeah, it's a true master brings people to the realization that of freedom, so that the student realizes, well, I'm the same person as my master. We are one of the same, and the device of teacher and student falls away and become true friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that many, many times there has been so much misinformation about a teacher-student relationship. And I think any real good teacher always wants their student to surpass them in their capabilities.
Right.
But also, like you said, a good communication with the student is a healthy one. If the student understands that their job is not to mimic the teacher, their job is to become the best that they possibly can be in whatever demonstration they're supposed to do. And I think there's often this confusion. Of course, there's a lot of people out there that when they're teaching, they do want what I'd call the student addiction to be very strong, because it isn't really being a good teacher, in my estimation, when you have that attitude. But they want them to be there. They want them to be just totally addicted to them so that they won't go anywhere else. It's a game of manipulation as far as I'm concerned. I really like the stories that you have in your book, End Your Story, Begin Your Life. And you've got the story in here about the Buddhist teacher Jack Kornfield talking about his teacher, Master Cha, and how Master Cha enjoyed an absolutely beautiful goblet that he's been given as a gift.
Right.
And tell the rest of the story about the glass.
Yeah, so it's a... he enjoys this beautiful goblet because for him, in his mind, he's already broken.
Mm-hmm.
So he can enjoy it without attachment, because the goblet will be broken someday. 500 years from now, 500 years from now. So it's a... again, it's a lesson in being present. See, Ajahn Chah, Jack Kornfield's master, and probably by this time Jack Kornfield himself, the people who are awake and free live totally in the present without any script. You have scripts, but you don't identify with your scripts. You're truly scriptless, so to speak. I remember many years ago, an astrologer told me that I was a child of the new moon. I was at my best front center stage with no script.
Mm-hmm.
And until you wake up to who you are, become self-realized, being without a script is scary.
Mm-hmm.
Because this I, this me, this ego wants certainty, wants to know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to, so that leads up to the fourth step of my practice. The fourth step, which is the title of my chapter 4, Questioning This Me, the fourth step is self-inquiry. Questioning who this me, who this I, who the storyteller is. And what you find out as you go more and more deeply into it, you find out that the storyteller is no more real than the stories it tells. The I, the me, is just a concept. But we've identified with it so much that we think it's who we are. And when you wake up to the fact that we're not this I, we're not this me, we have an I, we have a me, but we're not it, that's freedom. That's the final awakening. And then your search for yourself is over, and then you can turn your intention outward on the world and contribute and help the world wake up. That's my message.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, identities. And I like what you had to say about this. You said, as long as people cling to their story or version of reality, be it Jewish, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, black, white, or gender-oriented, there is going to be conflict and suffering within and between individuals and groups. and conflict and suffering are then projected outwardly in various forms of religious, political, ethnic, and social strife. And my goodness, look at how much of that is going on today. And it has just repeated itself. If you study history, you will find there are many, many cultures, many groups that no longer exist. And new ones came up. And we get caught in these dramas that create false boundaries and create fear. It literally feeds our three enemies, as I perceive them, ignorance, fear, and superstition. And when those enemies are fed well, they become the horsemen of the apocalypse on one level or another until somebody wakes up.
Right. Beautiful, Donna. You're quite a teacher yourself. I see you've had many, many years of spiritual training.
Well, thank you. I've walked a road of experience that I'm always delighted to share. And it is so important, I think, and that's what your book brings out. It is the idea of what freedom really is. And I really think that you present so many different perspectives that allow someone to be able to take a little bite, if you will. Take a little bite and chew it for a while. If they want to spit it out, that's fine. But they may want to chew it a few dozen times just to say, well, I wonder, and then maybe take another little bite. I think these things create such a shift in us, and your book, End Your Story, Begin Your Life, is so comfortable to read. The various stories that you share allow people to dip their big toe in, if you will, to see if it's comfortable enough. And then maybe they'll stick the whole foot in. Maybe then there'll be the ankle, the leg, and then maybe they immerse themselves. But the key is to understand it doesn't take away your right as the person, the essence that you are. Because, oh my goodness, the world of life is a rainbow of so many colors. It's just phenomenal. I don't think we can ever realize what it is. And we should have a sense of delight about exploring this. And your book, End Your Story, Begin Your Life, is significant. I think you've done a very, very fine job, Jim. I know we're just about out of time. What is your website that people can go to find out more about your workshops and what you do?
Exactly. Good, good. So I live in Los Angeles. And my website is www.jimdreva.com. That's spelled J-I-M-D-R-E-A-V-E-R, jimdreva.com. And I have a two-minute video on the homepage of the website of me talking about my new book, End Your Story, Begin Your Life.
Wonderful. All right, for those of you listening, check out his website, jimdreva.com. And that's JIMDREAVER.com. He's got, as he said, a two-minute video. Why not check it out? Don't ever be afraid to explore different concepts, different thinking. Remember, it's up to you. You have the choice to do with your mind and thoughts as you will. Jim, thank you so very much for being my guest today. It's a delight. End Your Story, Begin Your Life, Wake Up, Let Go, Live Free is a wonderful publication. It's been my pleasure.
So much,
this is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. They will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5500. 5604. You can also visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I know we've got a caller on the line waiting from Phoenix. I'm going to be going to that caller in just a moment. But for those of you who are tuning in to the show for the first time, telephone lines are now open, and I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. The telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, let's show you how we do it on the Donna Sebo Show. Let's go to Sandra in Phoenix, Arizona. Welcome to the show, Sandra.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, it's my pleasure. All right, dear, let me give you my thoughts, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything you like. The first thing, Sandra, is you are very, very organized in so many ways, but for some reason, it's as if somebody spread peanut butter and jelly in the brain, and you just go, duh. Now, you're anything but, not, you know, again, unorganized. But there is almost a patterning that's been going on around you for 2 to 3. I don't know if it's days, weeks, or months. It's a short term. And what's been happening is that you're saying, I've got to make a shift. I really don't know what's going on here. I don't know why I am not satisfied. There must be something wrong with me. I want to say, no, there isn't. There really isn't anything wrong with you. What is happening, dear, is that you are coming into one of the most dynamic, powerful periods in your life to date. And I just think that you are shooting down certain belief systems. Maybe a better way is you are evaporating them out of your space. And it's disconcerting. It's sort of like having a favorite pair of old tennis shoes that are just absolutely wonderful and your feet just feel great in them, but there's holes in the bottom of the sole and you know that every time you step in a puddle you're going to have wet socks and be miserable in your walking. But gee, you sure do love those old tennis shoes. And what's happening is this very thing. A lot of your life is becoming disassembled. And it's not good, it's not bad. It's time for you to grow and move on into a new direction. And you're feeling as if you're somewhat stuck, but you're not really. What you've got to go through is a limbo period here, where things are just sort of there. It's operating by, well, almost by habit. Yet there's a discontentment. All of this has to be in the activity so that you can recognize what you need to move into. You don't need to be concerned. Your finances are going to be fine. You are going to be able to make your shift. and you will be doing what you want to do professionally, personally, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically. You are going to evolve into this, but you are going to take steps at a time. It's not going to happen overnight. It's just not going to be that way. You are literally in a six-year cycle here. And it technically started a year, maybe a year and a half, maybe January. January 10th to 18th of 2011. And it has been evolving. And it must evolve, hon. You cannot move along too fast with this, because otherwise you'd feel like you were drowning. You're not drowning. You're just in this somewhat limbo cycle. So I want you to be patient with yourself, but I want you to be attentive. I want you to be unafraid of exploring. I want you to really see this as an opportune time for you. You don't have to be out making new records on anything. What you need to do, just as our guest was saying earlier, you need to be aware that where you are is really a good place to be, because it's allowing you to restructure, reorganize, and develop your plan of action with a sophistication that you have not been able to do to this point. And without the limbo, you can't do it. Would you like to ask me a question?
Well, you said finances will be fine. And you're really hitting it on the noggin as far as what I've been focusing in on.
Well, is there anything that you wanted to ask me specifically?
I don't think so. Not now. I was listening to what you were talking about and taking notes.
Good. Good. Well, I think you're going to be very pleased with the changes you're going to be implementing by the 5th of September. So just know, be mindfully attentive. Don't wait for some fairy godmother with pink shorts to come along and to do any rescue work. It's just not going to happen. So you need to be aware you are going to be developing the process of organization and what you need to do. And you're going to do the right thing.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Could I ask you just very quickly, I did send a letter out, a proposal, and I wonder if you see that coming back positive.
I think there's going to be some questions regarding the proposal. So I would just relax about the proposal. I wouldn't worry about that at all. They're going to call you, and they're going to have some questions that you didn't have a clue about them needing answers to. So I would just say, when they give you a response, don't take it personally. Say, gee whiz, what is it that you'd like for me to answer for you? I'd be more than happy to do so. And they're going to say, well, I've got this, this, and this, and this. And you say, okay, give me a little bit of time here. Let me pull together. And you need to ask some questions here also of what you need from them in the way of additional information. And say, okay, give me XYZ amount of time, and I'll get back to you. How about if I call you tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock? And they're going to say, that is, you mean that quickly? You say, oh, sure, I'll be able to pull it together for you, and you will.
Yeah, well, it just sounds like business as usual.
But that's exciting to you, but you're learning how to redirect yourself in a new environment. So go for it.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, dear. I appreciate the call. And enjoy your sunshine.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, dear. This is Donna Siebel. By the way, my newsletter went out yesterday, and it probably will be up on my website very shortly. But I wanted to say that I have got my Quantum Mind 3 class that's coming up here in Western Washington. And for those of you who are listening in Western Washington, this is going to be on April the 14th. I'm so excited about this class. Robert Newman is going to be teaching about Chinese medicine. I am going to be doing the second part of the program. We're going to be talking about dreams. We're going to be doing mind exercises. This is just so interactive. It's wonderful. Each and every class has been very different, very distinct in the information that's been presented by Robert and myself. And I know that this one is going to be just as interesting and produce such wonderful interaction between those of you attending and myself and Robert. So if you're interested in attending the class, I want you to call me. Call me at 253-582-5604. We're taking reservations. We're only able to have 25 students. And this way, we're able to give you individual attention. So if you call me at 253-582-5604, we'll put you down on the reservation list. Fee for the class is $59.95, and that is including lunch. The time is 10 a.m. until 4 in the afternoon. It's a wonderful way to spend a day and to walk away feeling like you have been empowered in a very unique manner. Also, you'll find out that your intuitive abilities are a lot better than you even realize. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be talking about two movies. We're going to be talking about People versus the State of Illusion, and we're going to then be interviewing a gentleman by the name of Joel, who is from Canada, and he has both a movie and a book. So I'll be telling you more about it. This is really something that's going to be very special, so we're going to have two guests on tomorrow. Each of them have their very, very special stories to tell, so we're going to be going into that. And then we're going to be talking about healing, romance, and revolution. Carolyn and Dennis Buckmaster are going to be my guests on Thursday. We're going to be stepping back into the past. We're going to be going back into a time frame where a young American woman who ended up being quite a celebrity here in the United States and lived to be close to 100 years of age, how this woman lived during a revolutionary period of the Second World War in China, and how these letters and what she related about the history that was going on around her and the difference that it has made in the lives of people today. And then we're going to be talking with Dorothy Kramer. Dorothy's a repeat guest on my show. And on Friday, we're going to be talking about the healing touch. Dorothy has been an energy healer for all of her life, really. She has a profound story about how she became aware of her gift when she was just a little girl living in war-torn Germany. So we have a wonderful array of guests, and if you want to know about who's coming up on the Donna Sebo Show, check show information, and you'll get all of the material, all of the details there, and then you can tell your friends. And don't forget, my show is moving to 9 in the morning. That's right. It's moving to 9 a.m. as of May the 1st. We've got another caller here. Let's go to the caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, dear. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Sure, it's Kelly, and I'm calling in from San Francisco.
From San Francisco, one of my favorite cities. Okay,
yeah.
Kelly, you have a lot on your plate right now, and the image I'm getting in my mind is that you have what I'd call a silver plate in front of you, and there's stuff on the plate, and then someone's coming along, and they remind me of someone that is serving food in what used to be called an old hash house. They got a bucket of food, they're dipping a big spoon in, and plop, putting it on your plate and saying, I didn't really want that. And they're saying, tough, that's what you're getting. Someone else comes along, a plop, they're dumping something else on your plate. And you're going, you know what? I don't think I like this very much. So I'm then, in my mind, I'm seeing you looking at your plate and you're sort of moving stuff away, and then you're saying, I don't want anything on this plate. Now, what this tells me is that you're going through a very serious period of evaluating your life. And for some reason, and this has been very much a part of your experience, people often come to you for a shoulder to cry on. And there was a point in your life where that was significant to you, but you're saying, now, I really want to be selfish. I just don't need this stuff dumped into my space anymore. So I think what's happening is that you're learning a level of responsibility, and you are awakening to the fact that you don't have to buy into or accept other people's stuff. And if people say, this is good for you, boom, and try to put it on your plate of life, you can look at it and say, sorry, this is your stuff. It's not my stuff. I don't want this. I don't need it. And I'm not going to accept it. And you're going to turn away from it. If nothing else, you're going to say, here, take it back to the kitchen. I just don't need it. And that's a good thing to do. That's a very good thing to do. But it's taken you a long time to get to that point. And you are really into doing some self-exploration. And you're getting to a whole new level of who you are. And you're very decisive. You don't have a problem dealing with the everyday do's and don'ts of life. But you're saying, it's time for me to step away from a role that I have done for a long, long time. I don't want it anymore. I'm changing my costume. Congratulations. I think it's great. Now, some people aren't going to be too happy with it, but I think it's marvelous. I think you are going to really feel good about what you're doing for yourself. And in the course of the shift that you're making over the next 6 months, you're going to feel like you've been liberated. You really are going to feel unencumbered. And there will be moments we're going to have a battle with that, because you're going to say, gee, I guess I'm not supposed to feel this way. Why not? There's nothing wrong with it. And the more you invest in yourself, the more you're going to be able to really assist other people. There is something in less than 5 years that you're going to find yourself very committed to. And that's going to be very, very good for you. Do you have a question for me?
Yes. Thank you for that. My question actually is regarding work and finances, because I'm currently looking for work and I'm running out of money. So I'm wondering if you can see either or both of those areas improving for me soon.
Well, I think they're most definitely going to be improving. It's not going to happen in 2 days, but I do think it's definitely going to be improving. What kind of work are you looking for? What would you like to be involved with?
Well, I'm an actress and a writer, and I've been auditioning a lot lately, but I'm still just kind of waiting to hear back on a few things.
Well, I think if you get involved with the writing, and you can link up with some people who maybe do scripts or become involved in some way in the industry itself, whether it's doing magazine work or something else, that's going to be marvelous for you, because all of it's going to lead you into eventually being able to do production with people. And I think that this is something that, if this is your passion and you've been doing auditions, that's wonderful. Keep it up. But don't shoot yourself in the foot by stepping away from environments that are new to you, that are associated with the industry itself. And you have some excellent connections within the industry that you're going to be able to connect with. And just put it out there. Just keep going for it.
So do you see any of these things happening soon? Because you're right, I do have a lot of connections, but it always seems like I'm being told, I'll get back to you in a month, I'll get back to you in 3 weeks.
And well, so you have to just be persistent. Just send them a thank you. Keep yourself in front of them. Keep yourself in front of them. And another thing I would say to you is, when you do your meditation, which you've been getting a little sloppy about doing it, when you do your meditation, you want to put it out there, say, I need clarity on this. I don't know exactly where I'm supposed to go, but I want some guidance on it. You may find something in a magazine. You might find it in a myriad of different ways. Don't try to put it in a box, and that's what you're doing. Let it go. Let it flow. And, hon, I'm going to have to go because I'm out of time.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. This is Donna Siebel. I'm so delighted you were able to share this time with me. Thanks so much. Don't forget, May 1st, I'm shifting to 9 a.m. in the morning Pacific time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is meant to be lived. It is not something to be afraid of. Step up and welcome it with open arms. It's a good thing. This is Donna Siebel. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on BBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.